That is how anxiety and fear are born. That is how anxiety and fear are born. If, for instance, I am standing on the edge of the chair, at a certain stage, if I am merely watching, I am not doing anything. I am merely watching.
Pretend that it's a 5,000 foot drop on the edge of
the... Have you ever done that? Yeah. No. If you have ever done that, you will have discovered God immediately. I'm not joking. You go up a tall building, a high-rise building, and there is probably a balcony that high, neck high, and you are definite that you cannot fall over. It's not possible. Unless somebody, lifts you off and throws you overboard. It's not possible. And you hold the rails and lift yourself off a little bit and watch the magic, the electricity flowing down your legs. Have you ever done that, sir?
Oh, yes.
That's God. Where do you want to see God? That prevents you from doing anything silly. It's absurd to do something silly. It's impossible, very, extremely difficult. And so, I am watching, and when does one topple over? When one is not watching, and when one challenges that intelligence. When I tell her, oh, I can stand on my, on my toe on top of this microphone. I want to show off. That is when I fall.
So the awareness...
The awareness was not there. The awareness was deliberately switched off in a bravado. And that was what suffered the drop. The intelligence is never wrong. It's never asleep.
The intelligence is in our mind too.
No. Huh?
The intelligence is in
the intelligence
our mind
is beyond the mind. Yes, got it. Just as it is beyond the physical cell, physiological cell. Physical cell, it is also beyond the mind.
I'm just wondering how it got perverted.
Ah, $100 million question.
There's a beautiful short story about a child with all this confidence and certainty in itself, and the father deliberately doesn't catch him when he or she jumps, to train the child to be scared and more cautious. I feel like that kind of circumstance is what plays so much into our losing the trust.
Yeah, that's the stupidness of the father. Mm-hmm.
But I think it happens all the time.
Yes, yeah, unfortunately. If we become sensitive to that intelligence, then it doesn't allow us to go astray.
How do you do that?
I understand the spirit of the question. That's also another type of vicious circle. I become sensitive, and then I become aware of what it is, and I become aware of what it is, and then I become sensitive. If I lose confidence in it, as she has been saying, that by God's grace, I think.
Swamiji, in the case of the tightrope walker, for example, there was a photograph of a colleague of a man who spent 45 minutes on a rope strung between the towers in New York, 1,300 feet up. Well, I feel that he is in someone like that. He must. I feel
regained
he
the confidence.
More.
Regained the confidence. Which we have lost. He has regained the confidence which we have lost.
In that one area.
Hmm. Yes, that's, I think, what I wanted to know. I mean, is it just in that?
No, only usually in that area.
Yes. Yeah. The same way. Well, then, would the same thing apply? Supposing you say to me, what is 5,482 multiplied by 7,963? The answer should be right in my mind.
It is.
Yeah.
But the anxiety that I may not be able to produce the correct answer, because at school, 80 times out of 100, I produce the wrong answer. That progressively blocks it more and more and more.
Do you mean that consciousness has the answer for you for every situation?
Mostly. At least the answer I don't know.
Well, I mean that body consciousness would tell your body what to
yes,
do in
yes,
any situation.
Yes. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. But, as Anne said, that right from childhood we have been messed up. I have been messed up, I have messed myself up. So, I'm here. Where do I start? Somewhere now I must start. Somewhere now I must cut this vicious circle and become more and more and more aware of the workings of this intelligence. And as I become more and more and more aware of the workings of this intelligence, I learn to listen to it. I learn to, it's a very bad expression, obey it. I learn to live in tune with it. Don't fight it anymore. That's it. Knowing that it's right.
Intuition, is that?
Yeah, right. We can call it what you like. Unfortunately, that word has been loaded and misused again. Intuition, you know.
What is the place of reason in relation to intuition?
Reason comes afterwards to justify what the intuition said before, earlier on.
Ideally, then, there should be no need for reason at all.
Not very much. Not very much. Reason and logic, they have their place in study, in that sort of thing. And if the reasoning can be made to find a reason for the intuition, correctness of the intuition.
So perhaps that is why it's better to chant or
correct
the mantra.
Right. That was Swami Shivananda's foremost fort, greatest fort. I once witnessed this, a shattering experience. One of the top politicians of India, he was not in government. A sort of, you know, freelance politician. He was the president of the Indian National Congress and that sort of thing. He came to the ashram, very respectable man, well-known, renowned person, brilliant man. And Swamiji welcomed him and put him in front of him in a chair. And he said, Swamiji, I would like to discuss with you some of our problems, the problems facing our country. And in ancient days, even the kings used to go to the holy men for advice, and I would value your opinion. That was just the preamble. Then for 45 minutes, he delivered a lecture on all aspects of this. It's a beautiful lecture. Probably he had repeated it in several other places. It's beautifully done. And Swami Shivananda was sitting there and listening to him, occasionally tapping the table. And not responding except a hum sometime. He had finished all what he had to say and he said, now, what's your advice? Whenever he had to say something very serious, he would close one eye and do this. He said, Oji, only God's name. Only God's name. Do some japa. That's it. Because if you try to solve, how were all these problems created? By some people thinking. And on along very rational lines. And you are going to tell me that my reasoning is wrong. And obviously I am going to tell you that your reasoning is wrong. And so, a problem created by this kind of wrong reasoning, is it going to be solved by another, somebody else giving another reasoning? Both of us, I have come to one conclusion by my reasoning, you have come to a different conclusion through your reasoning. Both of us go to him and ask him for his opinion. He reasons differently and comes to his own conclusion. Now, if it suits me, I am going to tell him he is right. If it and it doesn't suit you, you are going to say he is wrong. The same thing. Instead of two fighting, there are three fighting. And a thing called non-aligned block starts. It doesn't work. It hasn't worked so far. And yet you see, in spite of all this mess, life goes on. We have never looked back into that life and asked that life itself one simple question, what do you think? And life goes on because it doesn't think. I guess that is the whole purpose of practicing this yoga asanas. Can I discover somewhere that that something which baffles my brain, my mind, can happen. If the asanas are done that way, that's the most wonderful form of worship. I adore God or the Creator, and I am paying a tribute to Him. You are a very nice chap. I would never have been able to build a body like this. No. So it could be a form of worship, it could be a form of adoration, it could be a form of meditation, and eventually it could be a form of self-discovery.